got to have a certain little bit of an artistic flair, I think. I mean, you could put a wall together that was extremely strong and durable, but it might not just look, you know, the texture of the finished face of the wall might look untidy or messy or, you know, slightly lumpy. Even though it might want to be sheep that see it, you've pride, you've got to do it so it looks, you know, it's got that certain look about it.
This week, the art and the craft of building stone walls. The Nature Stories podcast is curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. I'm Samantha Brown. This piece comes from Stories from the Heart of the Land, the public radio series about the connection between people and the natural world. Here's series host Jay Allison to tell you more.
Andrew Loudon does not depend on nature's bounty for his living. He depends on nature's decay. He builds stone walls, dry ones, that is, with no mortar. He builds them from scratch, and he does repairs. All walls crumble eventually, and people hire Andrew Loudon to build them back up. Producer Kim Normanton joined Loudon for a day at work in the Lake District in the northwest of England.
Just rummaging around, and I've just found this stone to fit in there, which fits very well. It's almost like a game of chess. You're trying to think the next move ahead. It's not just how that stone fits in that gap. It's how the next course is going to sit on top of it. To be a good dry stone waller, once you pick a stone up, you never put it down. If you pick it up, it goes on the wall, because it, with it being traditionally paid by a metre, like a piece rate, it's all, obviously you want to be building all the time, so if you pick something up, you put it on, pick something up, put it on. You don't want to be messing around too much. This is, it's not a massive stone, but it's one of the biggest we've got here. This would go in as a foundation, so obviously you put your bigger stones in at the bottom. You've got to have a certain little bit of an artistic flair, I think. I mean, you could put a wall together that was extremely strong and durable, but it might not just look, you know, the texture of the finished face of the wall might look untidy or messy or, you know, slightly lumpy. Even though it might want to be sheep that see it, you've pride, you've got to do it so it looks, you know, it's got that certain look about it. A lot of people ask us, is it a dying art? You know, when tourists walk past or visitors and they'll see us walling, they'll say, oh, this must be a dying art, mustn't it? And perhaps in other areas it is, but certainly in Cumbria, everybody can wall here. It's like a really traditional thing. And like my milkman can wall and the postman can wall. Everybody can wall to a certain degree because there's just so much of it and it's such a traditional occupation. It's funny, when you're actually working, when you're actually building a wall, you just switch off. It's very therapeutic. Sometimes it can be quite solitary, but sometimes that has its advantages. It's nice to be quite, you know, to get away from everything, everyone, and be quiet. On occasions when we go working in cities, working in London, and you see all these people on tube trains and dashing around 24/7, it's nice for a week, but I couldn't do it. And it's nice to get back here. I drive over the cattle grid as you come over to Water Common. I drive over that cattle grid and think, right, that's it, I'm back. Walls that I've worked on, I can go back to, and you know, years later, and still see them there, and think it's a way of leaving my handprint on the landscape, leaving my mark on the hillside in an unobtrusive manner that nobody really knows I've been there, but I know that through building that wall or repairing that wall, that I've left my mark there for the next 100 and 200 years maybe.
Andrew Loudon was recorded by Kim Normanton. Maybe you'd like to leave a handprint, too. Well, you can if you take Loudon's course on walling. You have to go to the Lake District. But first, for details, you can go to our website, heartoftheland.org.
That piece was made for Atlantic Public Media series Stories from the Heart of the Land, produced by Jay Allison and Emily Botine. Bill Frizzell composed and performed the music. The Nature Stories podcast is produced with support from the Nature Conservancy, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. If you'd like more information on the series or the podcast, go to nature.org/stories. From Woods Hole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown. Thank you.